There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mo Salah, do you think he'll leave this summer?
There's every chance that he's done a deal with Liverpool at the end of last season, the summer. Last year, he's given him another year. I think there's every chance that that will happen. Maybe he's not fully focused.
Welcome to episode 17 of...
Get it right.
Simon Souness. We will get there, Gray, when your contribution merits it. I want to talk to you about a subject that's sort of lit a lot of people up and given a lot of people emotive reactions to it, which is the FA Cup and the abolition of replays. And all the furore that's going on around it. Where do you stand on that? I think it's evident that it's coming about because the big six clubs don't want it and the expansion of the Champions
League inevitable.
Fixtures. But what do you think about it?
More European competitions, more games there, more teams in the Champions League. It's inevitable.
But are you a purist? Are you a pragmatist or are you a purist about
pragmatist.
It? Pragmatist. Pragmatist, me too.
How can I put it? I think my arithmetic... I think we have three, you correct me here, but I think we have three clubs in the Premier League that are owned by British people who'd be interested in the history and the heritage of the FA Cup. Mm-hmm.
But, possibly, yeah.
But I think that's overtaken even by them because of the monetary aspect of the Premier League and the kind of money that's involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, where I live, down in Poole, little old Bournemouth, get circa 100 million from the Premier League. Yeah. What is the priority for them as a football club wanting to build a new stadium, wanting to have better players? Is it the FA Cup? No. Mm. So who would vote against that in the Premier League? None of them.
Well, the big argument's raised, isn't it, without going into too much detail, is the manner in which it's been sort of shepherded through. The Premier League and the FA have gone...
Railroaded it through. You don't count. We count.
Yeah,
we're the big guys.
Yeah.
Well, what they have to do, there is that I've just mentioned, circa 100 million.
Yeah.
You know, sit down and think of that, 100 million.
Yeah.
That's for little old Bournemouth.
Yeah, turn it up.
Surely out of those figures, they can make it up to, that must feed down the whole pyramid somewhere. Surely they can make it happen in a way where it makes the ones outside of the big league happy with it.
Well, this is the battle. I mean, I was listening to all the outrage last week, or the week before last, when it broke. And all the EFL chairman in outrage, Mark Pallias, the former FA chief executive, and who's at Tranmere now, talking about the absolute outrage of how they're not being consulted. Here's the simple fact.
What does he mean by consulted?
Well, they haven't been involved in the processes, and they have been involved via their representation. They just don't like the outcome. And here's the irony of it all. I'm willing to wager you that all of those 72. EFL chairman, or maybe the 48 that sit in League One and League Two that supposedly bank on replays, which happen as wear as rocking horse these days, right, would trade their purist attitude if they got more distribution from the TV.
That's the bottom line.
And I actually think the way that the Premier League and the FA have treated them is actually more grist to their elbow because they'll go to the independent regulator and go, this is how they behave, look at this. And it'll actually give them... That's why they think they're really screaming.
Yeah, they're on it. They're on it now, yeah. They're looking... This is not all we should be looked after because the history and the culture and the drama of it all and replays. No, it's about...
The economics. But that's the reality of the world. Do you think the FA Cup loses something by losing its replays?
No.
I don't either.
I think the... was one of the ideas mooted that if you're a small team and you get drawn at home, you can say, no, let's play at your big stadium, big shiny new stadium where we can get a lot more dosh. I think...
That might be a solution, but I don't...
I think the one we're talking about where there is some redistribution of the money from the Premier League to the lesser teams and lesser leagues.
That'll be the
to come up with a shortfall.
That'll be the panacea that cures all their problems. Yeah. And I do think this is this will eventually become the scenario because the regulator is going to force it anyway.
When you think about that, then they could make it, they'd be guaranteed the money regardless of.
Well, that's the point.
So that
every EFL club, let me tell you the facts of the matter. Every EFL club writes in their cash flow at the beginning of the season one FA Cup tie, one League Cup tie, and about 50 grand of a revenue. That's what they write in. And if you budget for anything else, then you're a because you can't guarantee it. And if you're making your business plans based upon an FA Cup,
when they sit down with the Premier League and FA to discuss this, do you think that's they're going to say, well, we only budget for one game in the FA Cup and one League Cup? Saying, well, we normally get to the third or fourth round, or they'll be pushing the boat.
No, there is a heritage in the FA Cup. There's value in it. But ultimately, I think the argument is a little bit disingenuous.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Mo Salah and his likely pathway. Do you think he'll leave this summer?
I think there's a real chance. I think there's every chance that he's done a deal with Liverpool at the end of last season, the summer last year. All the interest from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
He's given him another year.
Yeah,
it's a bit like Ronaldo at Man United. You remember he gave him another year, then went off to Real Madrid. I think there's every case. I think there's every possibility that is the case. Given Salah, I think he's 32 now. I think he's been marvellous for Liverpool, but I think he's had his head turned. He's gone back to a Muslim country.
That's what I was about to say.
His mother tongue.
Yeah.
So, at his age and everything else, I think
31.
I think there's every chance that that will happen.
Yeah, me too. I thought there'd be one more season, and I thought the absolute, because this will be the poster boy for the Saudi League, because as you rightly say, we've got a Muslim player that's a superstar coming in, and ultimately it gives everybody the elevation that
he's done it in the big leagues.
Do you think he's been the same since his return from injury? I think Ramadan affected him. I think that the energy levels he was able to, and people are going to turn around and say, well, it's Ramadan every year. But I do think that he hasn't been the same player. Do you think he's been the same player since injury?
No.
No? Both physically and mentally?
Yeah, and I think, you know, everyone's different. So if you got an injury and you're out for a while, some people get back up almost immediately, others need a bit of time. Looking at him, I mean, he's a fine specimen, isn't he? He's a powerful little man. I just think maybe he's not fully focused.
Where does Salah rank among the Premier League greats? Do you put him above Giggs? Do you put him above Bale? Do you put him above Aguero? Where do you put him in the pantheon of great players? You don't put him above any of those.
I don't put him above Giggs.
You don't? Okay.
Along with Aguero.
Right.
Gareth Bale, when he was on it, was just off the charts. He's up there. He'd be in the top 10 of all the greats that have played in the Premier League.
I'm going to ask this question, I know it's redundant. Is he above Liverpool players like Steven Gerrard in the past?
You see, I hate when people talk about the greatest player. How are you assessing what you can't judge a great goalkeeper with a great centre forward. I think the question should be this: the greatest influence on that particular team.
Yeah, fair enough.
Agree with that?
Yeah.
Then strikers would say scoring goals has the biggest influence on any team. There's an argument for that as well. But, you know, there's other parts of a team that are not black and white. You'd expect a midfield player to be saying
this. That's powered them to
win. Yeah, but there's other people.
Couldn't do.
There's other people maybe were supplying the bullets for him to score the goals. And if they weren't winning their battles, then the goals wouldn't have come. That's a never-ending conversation. He is up there with the very best of the Liverpool greats.
Above Gerrard in recent times?
No, it's different. I think Steven Gerrard influenced the team enormously with his drive and his goals. And Salah influenced the team with general play and his goals. I mean, I am a fan, but I you wouldn't pin me down on it. I think he's up there with the very best players Liverpool have ever had.
Interesting. Are you worried about where Liverpool are? Because you've got Klopp going, you've got potentially Salah going. Do you think they could be on the cusp of taking a step backwards? The reason why I ask is that we talk about Liverpool as having, this is Liverpool 2.0, he's regenerated. And there was a perception that Liverpool had done so much right in this regeneration that Klopp had created, that the legacy he was leaving behind was a good one. And then you get knocked out of the FA Cup. Then you get smashed by Atalanta in the first leg. And all of a sudden, you start to worry about how much of a legacy Klopp's leaving behind him. Do you think there's any danger that Liverpool could be in real jeopardy of taking a step backwards by the loss of Salah and the fact that the replacement that Klopp comes in simply can't replace him?
They have had... What I would say is, Liverpool, you've been in the football business. No manager gets all the signings right.
Nope.
What you'd have to say, Liverpool's recruitment under Klopp has been fabulous. How much of that is down to him? How much of that was down to Michael Edwards and the recruitment team that was working on that? They've enjoyed a large slice of luck because nobody gets them all right. All the very best managers. Yeah.
As long as you get the majority of them right, you're all right.
Yeah, but they've had the vast majority. Yeah, not everyone's worked out for them. So the challenge for Michael Edwards coming back is to continue that. When you look at the money that Liverpool have spent compared to the other big guys, they have spent a fraction of the money. So they've done an unbelievably good job, and it's whether they can continue that. In terms of replacing Salah, you know, if you're looking for like on what Salah was doing, has been doing for the last 5 years, that's going to cost you a hell of a lot of money that Liverpool wouldn't spend. So Liverpool will be hoping to buy someone who, in a very short period of time, two years,
and they can build it,
make him into... Because remember, Salah coming from Rome, did you expect him to be that good?
No.
I didn't.
No, it's interesting, as a quick diversion, I talked to John Terry the other day about the Salah and Kevin De Bruyne.
He went from Chelsea to Swiss team,
but the standards that were at and how strong Chelsea's dressing room was at the time and how Salah and Kevin De Bruyne weren't at that level, and it ended up them going out of the clubs. On Kevin De Bruyne, there's an indexing of him to Saudi Arabia. Do you expect De Bruyne to take that move? And here's the second part of that question. Foden and his step up this season. Do you think if Kevin De Bruyne were to take it, do you think Foden's good enough to step in and bridge the gap?
He's certainly, I mean, right now, where Foden is, he is the heir apparent. He has got all the qualities that you need to play wide in the midfield, wide in the front three, or more central. He's got all the qualities you need. And as long as he keeps continuing wanting to learn something new every day should be a school day for him. And he's in a great environment for that because he's got some really good senior pros there. As long as that happens, he is destined for greatness. Will De Bruyne take Saudi's money? I think that's... I don't know what sort of boy he is. Mm-hmm. He might have a wife who said, no, we won't be going there because it is a very different culture. Mm-hmm. Would I be surprised? No, because, you know, your playing days are over far too quickly and it's a real payday. I mean, as much as they get in our leagues, it's a real payday for them. Mm-hmm. So would I be surprised? No.
Disappointed.
So it's a yes to Phil Foden.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if he took the Australian money, the Saudi money. Euro team. How do you feel Oliver Glasner is has started there.
Is it me? Or does he look like the child catcher at Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? I seen him on television the other day and I thought, he's not from the point of view of any untoward, just the look of him. He just looks like the child catcher at Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I think he's been quite fortunate because I think you've got Elise and Eze getting back in the side. And I think those are the two players that make that team tick. Offensively, without
they're a difference.
They're a different level. I mean, the challenge for those guys is, and you're probably going to ask me the next question, is do I think they're going to leave?
No, but that was Roy's problem, wasn't it? He couldn't get them on. Yeah. Couldn't get them on the pitch.
I don't know, Glasner. I mean, he comes with a reputation of having done a really good job at Eintracht Frankfurt, but also ultimately getting himself into a situation where he's a little bit temperamental. And we've seen that replicated with Nagelsmann. We see it represented with other managers. Is that a bad trait? I don't know. Is he a coup? Well, given the fact he's been to a European final with a relatively decent side in Eintracht Frankfurt and beaten Rangers and done what they did there, I think it looks on paper like it's a coup. It looked like on paper that Patrick Vieira was a coup in certain people's minds. And Palace are there and thereabouts. So we're coming off the back 2 weeks ago of Palace smashing West Ham 5-2, but West Ham didn't turn up. I will only judge this fella when he's had his pre-season, reshaped his squad, got his own personnel in, and we'll see
and
what
then,
he does then.
And with the money he's going to get from Elise and Eze when they leave this summer, who he buys? Well, do you think they'll go?
I think that it's probably highly unlikely that they're going to keep both. They might be fortunate to keep one. Mm. Eze, to me, I don't know what you think, but I mean, I listened a couple of weeks ago to Danny Murphy absolutely raving about Eze in terms of he's got everything, in terms of his ability on the ball. And I think I'm inclined to agree. And I think Palace have had problems. The problem for Palace, Graham, has always been this. Zaha, in my view, was a top player.
But
no one would pay top money for him.
He's a warrior.
Yeah.
Or was it because he had a go at a big club before Man United and it didn't work out for him? He was too young then.
Possibly. But I also think there's a bit of a taking mentality when there's a perception of who you're dealing with and what you should and shouldn't get. And I think that because the bigger clubs think that we get the players here, so all of a sudden you've got a problem. Because if we're Arsenal or we're Liverpool or we're Manchester, one of the Manchesters, we can say we can make it public knowledge that we want the player. The player goes, oh, hello, Palace or one of the big six, I know where I want to go. And all of a sudden you've got a problem at the football club at Palace where you can't hold out for the 70, 80 million quid you might think the player's worth because the player's halfway down the road in wanting to go somewhere else.
Yeah, would it be a factor with Elise and Eze that, you know, Wilfred left on a free? Would that be in their mind if they were offered big money this summer?
I would hate to think I could inhabit the thinking of Steve Parrish. That would be a disappointment to me if I could inhabit his thinking, although some would say he's done very well, so it wouldn't be a bad thing. I think Zaha was a unique set of circumstances. I think he was the reason why Palace got promoted. He was the reason why at times they
managed
to
hold their
own. He was a little bit of a one-man team. And he earned the right to be on his really significant salaries that he was at Palace because they were paying him more money than they could ever dream of.
They survived because of him. I was on Sky 5 years ago and I said, someone like Real Madrid should take him. And people laughed at that.
I said the same thing.
You know, can you imagine? If you're a defender, you do not want one-on-one with him backing into the box. Because pacey, aggressive.
The better players around him.
Wants to fight you. Wants to take you on physically.
The only thing with Wilfred, he came out of my academy, so I knew him as a young boy.
So you're taking all the credit?
No. He takes all the credit for his own achievements. The only thing with Wilfred at times was that because he was a big fish in a small pond, he got a little bit like, I want a ball here. And I don't like that, and I don't like this. Right? And there was a little bit of that going on at times with him. But as far as talent is concerned, I think the United thing did count against him because I think two things happened there. Ferguson's going out the door, he's his last signing. So he's walking into a new culture at United with David Moyes and a new direction of travel. And I don't think he was ready. And I also think at South London, apparently, you know, Wilfred turns up there, didn't he have his boots? I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. But I think that could have counted against him. But I think Palace, with Elise and Eze and the marketplace and the perception that the reality, they gave Elise a new contract to avoid potential threat of Chelsea trying to take him in the summer. I think they've protected themselves. It's about how much they get for these players and what Glasner does with that money. And he must have known that on the way in.
I would suggest that they're looking at a very difficult season if they were to sell just one of them. They have to try and hold on to them.
I don't know how. Which player is going to sacrifice his ambitions? Because there's going to be bids for both players.
Well, you know the story. You know, players at a club like Palace, maybe even bigger clubs. If a player wants to leave because Real Madrid or Arsenal or Man United,
they're going to go.
They're going to.
Do you think when you look at these?
Do you know where that all started?
When?
You remember Anelka at Arsenal?
Yeah.
David Dean, Arsenal. Right. He is not for sale at any price.
Right.
£20 million later, we couldn't say no to the money. Yeah.
Everyone's for sale. Do you think both of these players, Elise, just to finish on Elise and Eze, and Palace, do you think both of these players, given what you've seen of them, are capable? You've talked about Zaha, and we both concurred that at one point.
Neither of them as good as Zaha.
Neither as good as Zaha. But do you think either one of them can step into a marquee club and play?
How old are they?
I think Eze is 26. Elise, I think, is a little bit younger than that. I think he's in his mid... I think he's 22, 23. Might even be younger.
See, at 26, he should be the finished article.
I think he is.
Do you think he's good enough to go and play for Man City or Liverpool?
Don't matter what I think. More
no, I'm not sure. I like him.
Every time you see me.
I like him, but I'm not sure if it's one of the big, big guys. Elise, at 22, I'd like to... Ask me in a year's time, please.
So Eze's 25, Elise's 22.
So as he's coming up to his best years.
Yeah. Right, that's it for episode 17 of Simon and Souness. We'll see you next time we're out.
Flimsy stand slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.